I should probably go. I think that's the kitten eating stuff.
Hello and welcome to This Horror Life. My name is Rob Humphrey, joined as always by my co-host Ghost, and Cat Velour is back. Okay.
Hi.
I really rolled out the welcome mat for you there, didn't I, Cat?
Yeah. That's okay. That's what happens when I just barge in.
It's more than you can expect from Rob at this point.
Pretty
to
much.
To be fair.
Pretty much. Yeah. Par for the course, I think. Mm-hmm. And we are doing another episode of Ghost Watches because it turns out that Ghost wanted to host a horror movie podcast, but she doesn't like to watch horror movies.
That's not true. So... there's just a lot that I have yet to see, and they fall through the cracks a lot. Okay. Yeah. There's a lot of them.
So we have a list that we're slowly making our way through. And this week we're going to be talking about Jordan Peele's Us. And we'll get into that here in a little bit. Kat, we'll start with you. What have you been watching this past week or so?
Well, I watched Prey. Watched Prey.
Did you watch it in English or Comanche?
I watched it in Comanche. And then I bothered everyone else that I know to watch it in Comanche also.
Okay. I enjoyed it in English. I will say that, but
I also I watched a different movie called Prey on Netflix because I saw it and it's like, oh, they're trying to trick me and I won't fall for it. And then it was like, but I do kind of want to know what it is. So I instantly fell for it. Right. It was a German movie that was kind of like The Ritual, but instead of having like a monster, there was just like a sharpshooter.
All right.
It was very different. It was not the payoff I was expecting. I started watching Sandman on Netflix also.
I keep hearing this is good, but I haven't watched it.
I'm a big fan of the comics, and I think the show is fine. I think it's all right. Not as good as the comics. I also I did finish reading the Grady Hendrix book, We Sold Our Souls.
And what'd you think?
It might be my new favorite Grady Hendrix book. Wow. It's not as fun as Horror Store, but I really love all of the metal allusions. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, very solid.
There's a lot of that, and it's still a lot of fun. I mean, you're right. It's not as fun as Horror Store, but it is a lot of fun.
It's a ton of fun. Yeah. And I also read a book called Fuckness.
I'm sorry, what?
But,
can you repeat that for me?
That's Fuckness. Not really the kind of show we do, Kat.
Yeah.
Listen, it's like Horns. But without all of the romance is gone. It's like, what if we just had like this dude with horns, right. And he causes trouble for like a couple hundred pages? And I'm like, okay, I guess, yeah.
You really like Horns, though, too, don't you?
I do really like Horns.
All right. Is that all you got?
Yeah, I think that's it.
All right, Cat. Not Cat. Ghost. This is going to be a nightmare. I'm so tired. I went to a concert last night and I'm old and I can't do weeknight concerts anymore.
Oh no.
Yeah. What have you been up to?
I haven't been up to too much. I watched just the movie that we're talking about tonight. And that's really all that I've gotten around to watching just because I've been extremely busy recently. But I did get a horror themed kind of tattoo.
Ooh, what'd you get?
I posted it on my Twitter, but it is the bats that Eddie Munson has tattooed on him in Stranger Things.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I'm very happy with it. It looks nice. Really good.
Is it all
healing
sore now?
Nicely? No, it's healing nicely.
Mm.
Yeah.
So if I am picking up where I left off last time, and I think I am, although we may have already talked about some of this, I can never remember. I watched the Hulu Peacock original, They/Them.
Ooh.
starring Kevin Bacon.
It looks awful. Is that
it's not bad. It's really? Not bad. Yeah. Here's the thing. It's so a lot of people were sort of mocking it like, oh, made for Peacock movie or whatever. But what people forget is that Peacock is owned by Universal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Universal knows a thing or two about making movies.
They do.
And it's also produced in conjunction with Blumhouse. Blumhouse does, or Universal does all the distribution for Blumhouse movies. So that's why Halloween Kills ended up on Peacock when it did.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a Blumhouse film that is premiering on Peacock. It's not great, but it's better than what a lot of people think it is. And it stars Kevin Bacon.
Is it better than the trailer made it look? The trailer looked so dumb.
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
But it's not, I mean, it's not fantastic. I gave it a perfectly average 3 stars on Letterboxd.
All right.
I also watched Prey. Mm-hmm. I loved it. I thought it was tremendous. I watched the Ring versus the Grudge movie for Slasher Radio. That was really dumb, and I did not like it.
You didn't even remember the name of it again.
No, it's Sudoku versus Cat Ghost. I remember.
No,
just Cat Ghost.
Seriously, the Grudge guy, he meows throughout the entire movie, and I don't
does he really
yeah
he really does
oh
yeah
my
I really want to stick up for it, but he yeah
to be
yeah.
fair, I've not seen the I believe they're both Japanese films. Mm-hmm. The originals, I've not seen the originals of either of those. I've only seen the American remakes.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that in the American remake, the little boy or whatever like does that like screechy thing with his voice.
Mm-hmm. No,
so yeah. That's weird that he meows.
Yeah, in this movie he meows, and it's really stupid.
Okay.
And then I was at the theater. I saw Bodies, Bodies, Bodies.
Oh, I want to see that so bad.
No, you do not.
No, I do. I know I'm gonna like it.
It sucks so bad. I hated every character in this movie. I hated every second of watching this movie.
I really like Pete Davidson? But hypothetically.
I mean, you know what? If you're the kind of person who really likes him, you're probably the kind of person who will really like this movie.
See, told you.
All
right. I told you I'd like it.
It is the worst. It's a bunch of 20-somethings, which is already the worst, at a mansion, right, for like a hurricane party, and it's pitched is sort of a slasher movie, but it's not really a slasher movie at all. It's just a bunch of people dying. Yeah, it sucks. It really, really sucks. I was so mad that I sat there in the theater watching this stupid fucking thing. And then what else? I also watched Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park, which I know Kat watched.
I did watch Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park. Yeah.
Or, the latest episode of Slasher Radio. It is brilliant. And I highly recommend that everyone try to find it before they take down the Facebook link where people are watching it, because it's only place.
I think we're going to get it taken down because we've been talking about it more than anyone else has in the history of that being live.
I'm sorry. I'm going to need some explanation on that.
It's Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park.
Kiss, okay. The band.
You know the band Kiss?
Oh, yeah, I do. Know the band Kiss.
They made a movie where they are
based off of their comic book, apparently.
Yeah, based off of their comic book. And they are at a theme park, and there's an evil inventor guy there who's going to try and cause a riot and shut down the park and injure a bunch of people. And Kiss has to save the park.
I mean, how low budget are we talking?
Oh, they spent at least $12.
Okay.
But they're $1978, so that's probably about $30.
fair. Yeah. Sounds tragic.
Mm. Yeah. It was excellent. It did everything.
Rob gave it a 6.1.
Did you really?
I did. I did.
Nostalgia factor? Because it's fucking Kiss?
No, I enjoyed the hell out of this movie. It is stupid. It is the stupidest thing you will ever watch, but it's so much fun to watch.
I don't know that I trust your judgment.
I will say I would have given it like a 6.1 also if we had done like B movie scores, because as a B movie, it's got everything you want.
Okay.
On like normal scores though, I gave it like a 2.8 because fair. That's
yeah.
Fair. But, yeah. So I'm gonna need the link.
I'll send it to you because you can't find it. The only place you can find it is on some guy posted it on Facebook.
Oh.
Yeah.
So watch it quick.
Now my question is it old or is it like a new thing?
No, it was an NBC movie of the week in 1978. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
That's why you like it so much.
It's amazing.
It's as old as you are.
Yeah, I am 2 years older than it. It is incredible. I will say that. That was my birthday pick for Slasher Radio.
Well, you know what? That makes sense. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
And it was perfect. It did everything I wanted it to do. I was so happy.
Did it? Yeah.
Yes,
everything?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, you complained about Cat Ghost a lot, but there was a dude that just roared a bunch and kicked the Phantom of the Park.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even the cat guy.
No, it was the demon, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, you know, who knows? Maybe we'll do that on this show sometime.
Oh, God.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, for like a Ghost Watches, I feel.
Absolutely. It's a classic ghost.
If I don't watch it first. Oh, well.
Well, it is.
It's classified as a horror movie, but that's very misleading.
I don't know about that.
I don't know. Requine is classified as horror.
Or as a shark movie.
And a shark movie. And it is neither of those.
Although I have found some people who really like that movie for some reason.
Why? It's so bad.
It's like a journey into the female suffering or grief or something.
The journey isn't even that good. It's so bad. The whole explanation. Oh, you know what? I'm not going to get into it.
Yeah, it's bad. I just sent the link for Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park. Ghost.
All right.
Seriously, the best 90 minutes you'll spend all week.
All right.
Unless you watch another 90-minute movie this week, potentially.
I probably will at some point.
Come on. You weren't that hard on it on the show, Kat.
No, it's fun.
Yeah. All right.
Easy to beat.
Yeah. And you can, Ghost, if you want. You can buy the DVD, but it's like $90.
Yeah, no, I'm going to pass on that.
That's all I've got. So I guess we're ready for news?
Yeah.
All right. I've got a handful of things here, Ghost. You said you had some too, so.
Yeah, I have a couple.
Hopefully we've got enough news here. The movie, I don't know if you guys have seen the trailer for The Invitation. I've seen it every time that I go to the movie theater and it pisses me off that somebody just made a movie called The Invitation after there's such a good movie already called The Invitation. But it's I don't know. It looks like it's going to be really dumb. It's like a vampire thing. Has gotten a PG-13 rating for violent content and partial nudity. But you guys haven't seen that trailer, really?
No, I've seen the trailer.
Okay. It looks bad, right?
It looks really bad.
Okay. Because I thought maybe it was just me who thought. Like, I have heard some people say they thought it looked good. And I'm like, what? Did I see the wrong thing? Or did they watch the trailer for that other movie called The Invitation from a handful of years ago that's really awesome?
I'm going to look up the trailer right now, but I have not heard of it or seen the trailer. I try to avoid trailers for the most part, though.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I will say I have only seen like the first 10 seconds that YouTube makes me watch and then I skip it.
It's got
even from that, it looks bad.
Yeah, it's got what's her name from Game of Thrones in it.
So I love Game of Thrones with a passion. They're actors don't choose the best horror movies just like as a general rule. The Purge, The Black Plague, The Forest, like we've got a bad history of these.
What's even sadder is that I will probably end up seeing this movie in the theater because that's how I am. Another movie got a rating. Hulu's Hellraiser is going to be rated R for strong bloody violence and graphic nudity. So I know what I'll be watching.
Are we surprised?
I mean,
relieved.
Yeah, I mean, seriously.
If they gave Hellraiser a PG-13 rating, I would have a tough time watching it, I think.
I don't think anybody would watch it.
Yeah. Well, and but you never know. I mean, this one's got girl Pinhead and everything, right? Is this, this is the one with girl.
That. Yeah.
This
yeah.
is that one, right? Because there was a series or something too. I don't know what happened to that. So anyway, yeah, but rest assured, Hellraiser got its R rating. There are conversations apparently taking place about a sequel to The Black Phone. Is anyone interested in The Black Phone 2?
I still haven't seen the first one.
Really? It's on Peacock, Ghost.
I know. I don't have a Peacock subscription, Rob. I got rid of it.
Isn't it like free?
No, it's no. To watch that movie, you have to be a premium.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well,
I did finally see Black Phone. I picked up Peacock just for that. And I don't know how I feel about it having a sequel. I kind of feel my biggest complaint about the Black Phone, because I think it did very well for what it was. But I also feel like they added a bunch of stuff like to the, because it was based off of a short story. So I feel like they had a really good psychological horror premise with a light supernatural element for a short story. And then they were like, and what if we make the sister psychic and there's like a Jesus arc and a bunch of flashbacks to pad out the runtime to like an hour and 40 minutes. And I'm like, all right, you could have chosen any one of those things and gotten to like 90 minutes and that would have been fine, I think. And now they're doing a second one and it's like, oh boy.
Well, I just don't know all what right. the second one's going to be. Like, I don't know.
And like Ethan Hawke was really good in it, but they didn't use him very much.
No spoilers, guys. I still haven't seen it yet.
Oh, sorry. That was all stuff in the trailer, to be fair.
Yeah.
To be fair, I haven't seen the trailer either.
Oh, sorry.
It's well, okay.
Just know
but
this going
But I was trying to be careful with to like only do things that they were using in advertising.
Yeah. Going into the movie, just know this. That little girl's badass. Like, she's a great... That actress did a great job. She's tremendous. All right.
And she wasn't in the short story.
And Ethan Hawke is amazing. I kind of now don't like... I kind of don't like him now because he plays a creepy guy so well.
He does play a creepy guy really well.
It's really good, Ghost. You should watch it.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell a sequel to that movie is. So I'm kind of like, all right. I mean, it feels like they did a lot better than they thought they were going to with this movie. And now they're like, hey, let's make a sequel. But I'm not sure. You know, here's the thing. There's absolutely nothing wrong with a really good standalone horror movie.
I wish we could just have more of those.
Yeah. Not everything has to have a sequel. Not everything has to try to be a franchise. Just leave it alone. It's fine. It was really good. I enjoyed the hell out of it.
I agree.
Yeah. And then the last thing that I have is the new Saw movie is coming out Halloween 2023. And it looks like it's going to be directed by Kevin, some last name I can't say. Do you know who this is, anybody?
Why don't you just try it?
Grierturch.
That's it.
Nailed it, right?
Yeah. First try, way to go.
Yeah. Hold on. Do you guys, have you seen this story? Do you know who I'm talking about?
I'll send it yes, in. Kevin no Grierturch.
Grierturch, yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah.
Who is he? Now, is he somebody who's involved with the franchise?
Yes, okay. He did. He worked on, I want to say 7, but I don't know if that's right. He worked on one of the previous Saw films. It was 6 or 7, I think.
Okay.
But excited? They're getting him back.
I know you're the big Saw fan, Kat. Are you excited about this?
I'm not. Spiral broke me.
Yes, bad.
I will say I like Kevin Grierturch's contribution to Saw more than I liked Josh Stolberg, because before he fucked up with Spiral, he did Jigsaw, which was previously my least favorite entry. So, but that being said, the entry I think that was worse before that was Saw 7, which I think is the one that Kevin Grierturch did. So my hopes for this are not high.
Yeah.
It can be worse than Spiral.
I don't think anything could be worse than Spiral. I saw something about that saying they were going to give the fans what they want in a Saw film. So I don't know if they know what the fans want.
Well, obviously the fans want more Chris Rock.
No.
Come on. I like Chris Rock, and he needs a boost after being slapped by Will Smith.
You know what? He's doing well after getting slapped by Will Smith. All right.
Yeah, that really was
sounds
a good
like he's
thing.
Doing better.
Yeah.
That really was a good thing for him. Poor Will Smith paying for it, though.
Yeah, he shouldn't be paying as much as he is.
No.
But yeah, I'm excited for the Saw movie. I'm gonna drag Kat out to the theater to see it.
I
kicking and screaming.
Am not looking forward to it at all, in the least.
Yeah, we know you don't like them.
Not one bit. All right, Ghost, what do you have for news?
We got a teaser trailer for Wednesday. Have either of you seen it?
I've seen the images.
I saw that it was out. I did not watch it.
Yeah. Teaser trailer. It's pretty good. I'm excited about it. It does not look like a normal Tim Burton film from the trailer so far, which is kind of promising because I feel like Tim Burton strikes like
about it.
Like I have nothing against Tim Burton, but I think like obviously all of his films have like that same dark feel. Not saying that this won't get into that at all, but there's some really good contrast between obviously the Addams Family being dark, all wearing, you know, black clothing and things like that, and like the high school she's in being all bright and all these other kids are wearing such bright clothing. But it looks really good. And I fucking love Jenna Ortega. So I can't wait for this to drop.
I am probably going to watch it because I do like Jenna Ortega. I don't think Tim Burton has done a good movie since 2007.
I would say 1999.
I don't know which movie either of you are referencing.
Generous than you.
Mine was Sleepy Hollow.
Mine is Sweeney Todd.
Sweeney Todd. I love Sweeney Todd.
That stupid movie.
I know how much you hate it, Rob. But yeah, that's premieres this fall. So
It's a show, right?
Yeah, it's a TV show.
Has he done a show before, like a series before?
I don't believe so.
I don't think so. I think he was there was talk of him. Oh no, never mind. I remember there were like rumors way back when that Dark Shadows was going to be like a limited series, but it came out and was not a limited series. I don't think he has.
Yeah. I saw some controversies on Twitter about people being pissed that Luis Guzman, was cast to play Gomez. And people were like, oh my God, what the hell? Like, he's ugly, this and the next thing or whatever. And I was like, dude, he looks just like Gomez from the comics. What are you talking about? I've heard a lot of the fact that the source material he used for this is straight from like the comics, from the original source material. So,
why didn't he just use the TV show? Nobody read those fucking comics.
I don't know.
Regardless, of Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park.
The fuck? I'm gonna.
I didn't read
you.
Those comics either, but Luis Guzman's a talented actor, though. Leave
he
alone,
is
everybody.
Extremely talented. Yeah. So, a lot of what I saw, at least on my timeline, were people defending it. So
he's a talented actor, and it's cold-hearted to call a man ugly. Damn,
it is.
He can't help his face. No, I like him a lot. So leave him alone.
All right, moving on. I actually had no idea Guillermo del Toro was working on I'm assuming this is a limited series / TV show. It's called Guillermo del Toro's Cabinet of Curiosities, and the trailer for it dropped.
I have not seen this.
Have either of you heard of it? Because I hadn't.
I knew he was working on something, but I could not have told you that it was a limited series.
No, the thing about del Toro is, every time any project is mentioned, he goes, oh yeah, I'd love to do that. And then everybody runs off with, oh, he's working on this. You never know what he's really working on because he's attached to a bajillion different things.
Yeah. That's fair.
But then when something does come out, it's genius. So
yeah,
he's the opposite of Tim Burton.
Stop it. I wouldn't say genius. I mean, you've seen Shape of Water, right? That's not a horror movie.
The greatest horror movie ever made. Yeah.
It's Splash. It's a reimagining of Splash. Anyways, Cabinet of Curiosities is a collection of live action stories that Netflix says is meant to challenge our traditional notions of horror. So.
Some more fish porn?
Probably. Yeah.
I don't like either one of you.
To be fair, I don't think you ever liked either of us. But yeah, it looks like there should be, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 episodes, which is pretty on par for Netflix. But the trailer dropped for it. I haven't watched the actual trailer yet, but anything Guillermo del Toro, I'm in.
Yeah, I'll check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's really all I have for news.
All right. Well, I guess we'll get into the episode then, or the topic, which is Ghost Watches, Jordan Peele's Us, the 2019 film. I assume you'd seen this before, Kat, right? I mean,
yeah, I saw this in theater.
Yeah. Ghost, you had not. What did you think of it? Just your overall impressions.
Oh, I fucking loved it.
Oh, good.
I mean, how could I not? There's something about, I mean, obviously I've only seen two of the three. I've yet to see Nope. I really need to, but there's just something about the way Jordan Peele makes his movies that every fucking thing is deliberate. Every tiny little thing, mm-hmm. which I love.
Yeah, absolutely. Nothing's there by mistake when you watch a Jordan Peele movie. I recommend Nope. Kat, I don't think you've seen Nope yet either.
I haven't seen Nope yet.
Yeah, you guys, I don't know what's wrong with you. Jordan Peele movie just comes out, you go see it. That's
I haven't gone to the theaters in forever.
Yeah, I love this movie. I've seen it numerous times, and I still really enjoy it. There is a lot of people who have said that they don't think this is much of a horror film as Get Out, but I actually find this movie scarier than Get Out.
I find this premise a lot scarier than Get Out. I'm going to get this out of the way right now. I have one pet peeve with Jordan Peele movies. I think he's a very talented storyteller. I think his movies are very entertaining. I love them. I do have one pet peeve, though, with his horror movies, and it's that he'll come up with the scariest shit, and then he doesn't, and I think it's because of the comedy background, he doesn't always let moments land, where it's like, if he let that tension build for just one more, you know, just like a few more seconds, it would have been perfect, but then there's usually like a joke or something to kind of lighten the mood that I feel comes in just a little bit too soon. And it makes it very entertaining, but I do think it makes it less scary. So even though I find the premise for Us a lot scarier, I feel like it had more instances of that where there was like kind of a punchline where there should have been more tension. And I think that might just be a personal preference, because I like to be left on like in suspense a little bit longer.
Yeah, the humor in this movie doesn't bother me. I love the dad in this movie. He's hilarious and he's great.
Oh,
and
he really is.
He's such a dad. Like how excited he is about that shitty boat that he bought. I really, really enjoy this movie. I love the setting. I lived right near Santa Cruz for a little while. And we used to go visit all the time when we lived in Lake Tahoe. If we got a long weekend or something, we would try to get down to Santa Cruz because it's such a beautiful area. So I'm always a big fan of any movie that's showcases Santa Cruz as well. And actually calls it Santa Cruz, unlike The Lost Boys, where they give it some bullshit name. I really enjoy this movie. The performances, I mentioned liking the dad, but I always butcher her name. I'm going to try not to. I believe it is the main actress. What's her name? Lupita Nyong'o or some shit?
Yeah, I know her first name's Lupita. I do not know how to pronounce her last name.
Yeah. I always butcher it and I always feel bad. But
she's amazing.
She is great in everything that she's in. But she gives a dual performance in this movie that is absolutely incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I can believe that she didn't get more Oscar attention for it, because it's a horror movie and that just doesn't happen. But she was so good in this movie. And then I think the overall theme is just really interesting. This idea that we all have somebody tethered to us underground. Isn't that weird?
It is very creepy.
Yeah.
Very eerie. It's amazing too. Like in my notes, a lot of my notes are like, what is going on? Like, why is this way? This doesn't make sense. But then like it gets to the end and it all just kind of fits together without. A lot of times I feel like in horror movies, there's always some fucking long ass monologue that's like, okay, get to the point. We get it. I feel like in this movie, like, yeah, there's kind of a little bit of a monologue, but it's not like so long and over the top to fit the pieces together. They just kind of fall into place and you just kind of like a light bulb goes off in your head and you're like, fuck, okay.
Yeah,
that's what it all is. Like the red jumpsuits, for instance, like that was a big thing for me. I was like, I don't fucking understand what is up with these fucking red jumpsuits, not realizing the t-shirt the girl had been wearing.
Yeah.
I was like, oh fuck. Like when that clicked in my head, I was like, holy shit.
Yeah. There are so many things that tie together, like all of Jordan Peele's movies so far. There's just so many little things that all kind of tie together. At a certain point. I also don't want to go too long without mentioning the score, which is just fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Michael Abels scored this movie. I believe he did the score for Get Out as well. I'm not sure about Nope, but Get Out's another excellent score, but it's so great. And of course then you get your Jordan Peele music cue, the sort of dark version of I've Got Five on it that comes mm-hmm. up. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
I remember seeing this in theaters and leaving. I was just singing that song the whole way home like an idiot.
Yeah.
With the Easter eggs, this was the first time I think that one kind of bothered me. And it didn't bother me because I thought it was genius, but it did spoil the ending for me a bit. Because the first thing, and I think this just comes from being like a horror nerd, but I was thinking about underground people the entire time because of the Chud VHS, like right at the beginning.
Yeah.
That was like the first thing I noticed in the movie, because it's like, oh, what a cool choice of movie. Like,
yeah.
Wonder how many people here remember Chud. And then, you know.
I've not seen Chud. I know of Chud, but I didn't even make that reference.
How have you not seen Chud, Ghost?
That's what we should have been doing this week. I love Chud.
Chud is something else.
It did kind of like, and then it, almost immediately after that, it was like, oh, because you know you're in a Jordan Peele movie, so it's like I understand something that I don't think I was supposed to get yet.
Yeah.
Of course, there were a lot of things that I didn't put together, you know, but.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of the time, like watching this, I had like all these little questions, but like I always had things in the back of my head, like at the very beginning, like, first of all, the cinematography of that like opening scene is beautiful.
Yeah,
especially when she gets in the little funhouse. Mm-hmm. But like right away when it all happened and she saw like the girl in the mirror, my immediate thought was, these kids are switching places.
Yeah.
And so that, like, of course I had like brushed it aside. So I was like, that would, whatever. I don't know how that would work. Cause I didn't really know much about this film other than the fact that there were, you know, doppelgangers that come and attack them or whatever. So I paid it no mind, but eventually when it was getting towards Xana, I was like, oh, I know where this is going. Which yeah. I think maybe is just me like having watched enough horror movies to be like, oh, this is what's going to happen. I kind of have like a spidey sense sometimes for this shit.
Yeah.
But it was still really good.
Yeah. And it all falls together really well. Like it's just done really well. Like, you know, you notice that Red, Lupita Nyong'o's doppelganger, is the only one of them that really speaks. you know, and then you, but she, and she's got that really weird, raspy sounding kind of voice. You see her, yeah, getting
which
choked.
When I found out that at the end, I fucking lost my shit. I was like, this man thought of fucking everything. Yeah. It was so good.
Yeah.
I literally in my notes went, her vocal cords were crushed. Holy fuck. I just realized, like, I couldn't believe it. It was amazing.
Yeah. That's it's just put together so well. That it's just incredible. And I think one of my favorite moments in the movie, and it's such a silly, stupid little thing, but I love it when Elizabeth Moss's character tells the Alexa to play or to call the police and it starts playing Fuck the Police. It's really funny, but also the first line of that song is coming straight from the underground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's just so brilliant. I mean, it's funny, but it's also really just a brilliant stroke to add to the movie.
Mm-hmm. Everything's there on purpose. It really all works.
It's amazing. Like, I know if I go back and watch it, I'm going to notice even more like little things that I didn't notice before. And it's just like, I don't know how he does it, where it's just every single little thing you can think of ties together into something somehow, some way.
Yeah, it all works
together.
It's just
insane. Yeah.
I did have one thing that really bothers me about this movie, mm-hmm. and it's bothered me the last few times I've watched it. I didn't really think about it the first few times, but the last few times I've watched it, when the doppelgangers like first get inside their house, and she, Red has, I can't remember the character's name. Adelaide. Yeah, Addie. Yeah. She has her handcuff herself to a coffee table.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, well, that's not really going to be all that hard to escape from, because there's at some point everybody's scattered and she's in the room by herself and she's trying to get free and she's like struggling and fighting, and I'm like, it's a coffee table, just pick the fucking thing up.
That was one thing that bothered me, because that coffee table, it wasn't so solid that she couldn't have picked it up, but it was more solid than any of the other beach furniture. Which like kind of got under my skin a little bit. It's like, oh.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, in a life or death situation, pick the fucking thing up, you know.
Yeah.
Like, it might be awkward and uncomfortable to try and run with or whatever, but, you know, do what you got to do. It's a coffee table.
Yeah, I feel like that didn't bother me so much. I think the one thing that kind of bothered me is, like, yeah, we find out, like, okay, so the government was doing these experiments or whatever with people who were, you know, their doppelgangers or whatever, who, you know, had shared a soul somehow. But what bothered me is, like, where does everybody on the planet then have a doppelganger? Or was it, like, confined to just this area where they were experimenting things? I don't know. I feel like, I just wanted a little bit more explanation on it, because it's fascinating.
It would be everyone in America, right?
Yeah, I'm not real sure. So I was looking to see, I guess that is real. There are tons and miles of unoccupied tunnels in the country.
That I did not know. Yeah.
I mean, that's creepy.
It is that I did know about that before watching the movie. And that's kind of like that, I feel like, gives away the fact that they're fucking tunnel people, basically.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I guess it would be everyone in America, right? You know, unless other countries also have these massive tunnel networks under them that are abandoned. I don't know if they do or not.
That
I didn't even know my country had them. So I have no idea what the fuck's happening in another country.
That I wouldn't say that bothered me so much as it did just left me kind of wondering, like, what the hell. But also the fact that when she was explaining how they were, like, tethered together, and how however one person does something, you know, they're forced to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't understand how it only worked one way. But yeah. I guess that's not really for us to know, but that's the only other thing that I was like, what?
Yeah.
The one thing I would have loved to know is, because there's the scene where you get to watch the birthday again, mm-hmm. Both on the surface and below ground.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I think it's weird that the props are the same. Like, all of the manufacturing is obviously different, but then she's got, like, the backwards Michael Jackson t-shirt just handed to her in a carnival that's not there. And it's like, what is... What, which things are and are not important to have mirrored down here?
Yeah. And
that was kind of what broke my brain.
I think with the mirroring thing that like bothered me the most. So did she, was she mirrored like to walk out of and find this fucking escalator and go up there? Was that her mirroring her, or did she just something snap and she like had free will to go do this?
I think the thing was that they met up. They like lined up exactly in the middle, which I don't quite know how that I guess like the House of Mirrors is the exact midpoint between the two things.
Okay.
So like as Addie got closer, her double also got closer, and when they were on the same level,
Red
is just like, here we go.
It was, I don't know, that all that is kind of weird to really stop and think about. I do love when they're showing though the people in the tunnel mirroring what's happening above, because it's so fucking creepy looking.
It really is.
Yeah
It reminds me of those videos of like old school sanitariums, like old ass ones where like they're insane asylums. Mm-hmm. And they just have like patients like wandering the halls. That's what it reminded me of, and it's creepy as hell.
Yeah, a little bit. I feel this is one of those movies that I started watching for the show and I took like two notes, and then I kind of forgot that I was watching it for the show and I stopped taking notes and I just watched the movie.
Yeah. So
I'm really struggling for things to talk about. So whatever you guys got, go ahead.
Yeah. we can talk about
my notes already.
we can talk about some of the kills in this movie were pretty gnarly.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
Especially the other family.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that got pretty brutal.
Elizabeth Moss's family.
Yeah. Like when they first show up, when the doppelgangers first show up, and it's the two girls upstairs, you know, yelling, talking to them, to their parents downstairs. They're like on that, you know, landing or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then the two doppelgangers just come out from nowhere. It's so fucking scary. And then, it gets pretty brutal.
Yeah, it really does. And it one of the things throughout this whole movie too, I was like, I don't understand. How come they just have doppelgangers? And then that family's doppelgangers show up. And then I was like, what the fuck? Does everybody in America just have a doppelganger family? Literally, this is my note. So does everyone have a doppelganger family that lives in the tunnels and all have red jumpsuits or what? Yeah. Maybe there are creatures that can like shapeshift or some shit. Because I was like, what the fuck is going on? I don't understand.
And the doppelgangers just wanted to have their own hands across America.
Yeah, that was the whole
thing. Right. Totally.
Yeah. Which, you know, it's funny. I don't think I've thought about hands across America since it happened until this movie came out.
I didn't know that was a thing.
I think that's a really interesting thing, though, because it's like Hands Across America, from what I understand, was advertised and marketed as like this huge unforgettable moment that just society collectively forgot about once it happened.
Yeah.
I do think that's one of the most interesting aspects of the movie, where it's like, if you get just a piece of this advertising that's like Hands Across America and you have to wait like 20 years or whatever it was to do it, like that must seem like that much bigger of a deal to finally have your own, even though we've all moved on up here.
Yeah, we all forgot about it. Yeah. And it, as I think the only member of the show who lived through Hands Across America, I can tell you, it was fucking everywhere. People would not shut up about it. And then it was like, it happened on like a Saturday, and by Monday, nobody fucking was talking about it. So I, you know, that's, it's interesting that, you know, it's also fitting with the time period that, she went into the funhouse and everything. You know, was it scary that she was wearing a Michael Jackson shirt? I don't know.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. I did want to mention in my notes, I had like at the scene where I can't remember the daughter's name. but her doppelganger, mm-hmm. Zora, I think. Mm-hmm. Or is that the daughter's? I don't know. Whatever. The doppelganger. I think
the daughter's name is Zora.
Yeah. She's on the car as the daughter's like driving or whatever. And they flip on the windshield wipers and she's staring at them like she's never seen them before in her entire life.
Yeah.
But they know what escalators are because they have them.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very confused at that.
Well, escalators are different than windshield wipers. They're two different things.
I don't know. I just found it weird that they were like, oh, okay, escalators, cool. And then, like, she flipped on the windshield wipers after having no issues with the fact that there's a car driving around, because I don't think the bitch has ever seen a car. and the windshield wipers are what threw her.
Wouldn't the doppelgangers be moving a lot faster, though, than their counterparts if the counterparts don't have cars? This whole prop thing is going to trip me up forever about this movie. Because, like,
yeah, what happens when you're driving? Does your doppelganger just down there zooming along?
They just mimic sitting.
I was going to say, they're probably just like, they just sit. They probably don't move. They probably are just sitting.
Oh, man, my God.
There's a lot to dig into, isn't there?
There really is. Yeah. Like, and that's where I get into movies where I'm like, okay, but how does this happen? Like, this isn't shown, but how does this happen? This doesn't make sense. In my mind, it's like, that's how I end up with movies. I do think we also have to touch on the scene between Addy and Red where they're down in the tunnels and they do like they intercut the dance sequence and the fight sequence. Was so fucking gorgeous.
That was one of my favorite scenes. Oh, yeah. I always really like when they incorporate ballet into horror. And this is, I think, one of my favorite examples of it. Like, I ever, because the choreography just, especially with the mirror effect, you know, they have the, like all of the jumping that is going on the surface and all of the collapsing that is. going on below.
Yeah,
I thought was very nice.
And I really enjoyed too that it wasn't like a fair fight. Like a lot of times in this moment in movies where it's like the big battle between, you know, the good one and the bad one, there's this fight that goes on and they're both on kind of equal footing, but in this one it's like Red's toying with Addy like the whole time. Like, I could kill you right now, but I'm not going to. I'm going to toy with you a little bit. But she's still fighting for her fucking life.
Yeah.
Which I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, it was that is a really cool scene. It looks really beautiful. At the end, did you guys take away from it that Jason knows?
Yes, I did.
That's what I did too, but I was kind of like, is that what everybody thinks, or am I reading too much into this?
Yeah, I mean, I like that you can kind of take it either way. You can kind of take it as Jason knows because he overheard, which I don't know that he would have been able to overhear because he was somewhere else. So I kind of surmised in my head that Red actually told him what was going on, possibly, in that time they were together.
There could be that, but he's the only one who saw. There were a couple of times when Addy sort of reverted back to almost being like one of the tethered, like just with guttural the chittering and stuff, and he I think was the only one who saw her do it. Especially when she's, you know, killing Red or whatever. I think that that might have tipped it off. I don't know. I was watching it and I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty sure that that's what they're trying to convey here, but I just wanted to make sure I was reading it right.
Yeah, I had to look it up and see what other people were saying, because I thought that it meant that he knew, but I know it's, you know, it's the ending of the movie that people can interpret different ways. He could be looking at his mother like that, like, fuck, dude, what the hell just happened? Like, is this real life? Did like he really just kill that person? You know, who knows?
I do also really love the end from a narrative standpoint, because even though we are rooting for Addy essentially the whole time, so it feels very victorious. There is kind of that shift in we're kind of rooting for not only are we rooting for the one that's like traditionally evil, but she did do an abduction in the beginning. Like, we are rooting for the villain here.
Yeah, I mean, she completely ruined Red's life, right? I mean, she stole her life.
Yeah.
Is she a villain in the normal... She's not the villain in the normal sense, though.
Not in the normal sense, but like from a narrative
everything
standpoint.
That makes her human was stolen from her because she was just made to be this experiment. And so that's why I was really confused at like what her whole plan was when she switched places. But obviously it was just, I want to go live a normal life.
Yeah.
I want to see what being a human is like, because I don't know.
Yeah. I'm tired of eating raw rabbit.
Right. So, I mean, yeah. When you realize like, oh fuck, you're like rooting for who is really supposed to be the bad guy, but not the bad guy at all.
It has a lot of layers though, because if you decide to treat her as she is in the right, I'm not going to say that, but like if you choose to overlook the traditional narrative framing of it and accept that she's correct for what she's done, then you also have to wonder whether or not we should have been rooting for all of the tethered in their Hands Across America scheme, because that technically is an uprising at that point.
Red, what she wants to do, she is very right to do. She wants to bring all of the tethered out and be like, hey, we're fucking here. We're not doing it anymore.
Yeah.
But of course her going in, you know, it's a revenge story too, because she's trying to get revenge on Addie or Red. At this point, they're intertwined, or whatever, you know, the real, not real. I don't know. I'm confusing myself now, but you guys know what I mean. Like, you know, she's trying to get revenge on her for stealing what was right. You know, what was her life. Yeah. And you can't really be mad about that, but also you don't know.
They miss Hands Across America.
They did. They really did.
Yeah. And that's the tragedy of the whole thing.
That was her monumentous memento. I can't think of the word. I don't know how to pronounce it.
You were there. Momentous.
Close enough. Her event. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see.
One final Easter egg that I wanted to talk about.
Sure. I love the Easter egg stuff.
The Jeremiah 11:11 I thought was really interesting.
I had to look it up.
Because
I forgot.
You choose it. On the surface level, it makes a lot of sense because it's the mirror 11:11. And I didn't get it at first because my Bible is King James. So when I did try to look it up, I was very confused. But in the new, so then I Googled it like a normal person. And the new King James version ties into the story very well, which is, therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will surely bring calamity on them, which they shall not be able to escape. And though they cry out to me, I will not listen to them.
Okay.
Which I think with the mutism that the tethered have tied with the calamity, I think they captured a lot of elements in that for something that was like very obviously a visual gag. It had a lot of meaning.
Yeah, I was gonna look it up too, but my Bible's satanic, so it's not the same.
I had to look it up, and then I had to look up what it meant, because those are too many words that I have to try to figure out.
My version, like the original version, if anyone cares, the one that I read from the book was, therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape. And though they cry unto me, I will not hearken unto them. And I was like, what the fuck? I'm not going to fuck around with hearken.
The 11:11 thing comes up a lot in the movie. You know, just little stuff. At one point, the dad is watching a baseball game and it's tied 11:11.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah. I mean, just little things like that that come up over and over again throughout the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think too, that just the family themselves, like, I feel like Jordan Peele has such a way of writing his characters that like they feel real. They don't feel like they're characters on a screen. Yeah. And like they feel like a little family unit. Like, they don't feel like they're just four people that are just kind of written together. They all are written age appropriately, and I think that it really works well for this movie. I wish more writers did that. I feel like a lot of times, like, kids are just, they're written this way that's way too adult. And it's like, oh, that kind of takes me out of it, because kids aren't really like this. They're little assholes.
Right. Right. Yeah. Or you get the kids are just written generically. So
yeah,
the younger brother, you know, speaks and acts exactly like the older sister, which is mm-hmm. not how life works at all. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they had the brother and sister have these little tiffs, like when he's in the closet or whatever, she fucking kicks the little ambulance toy away so it gets locked in. But then later in the car, you know, they're like fist bumping and they have like that sibling camaraderie where it's like, yeah, we're gonna fight, but then in 5 minutes we're gonna be over it and we're gonna be done and we're gonna love each other again, which yeah. I really enjoyed. And I feel like a lot of like those little moments of comedy never felt forced. Like all the dad's little dad jokes fucking killed me. I thought they were great, but they didn't ever feel like they were forced, and that, you know, sometimes they ease tensions a little bit. I felt like a lot of times they didn't actually break the tension 100% of the scene. Like when they're standing in the door and they see the family and he's like, oh shit, there really is a family standing out there, like that was funny.
Yeah.
But it didn't break the tension to where it's like it took me out of it, you know.
So what, you all scared of a family?
Yeah, right. I would have been like, yeah, I probably would have said the same fucking thing. I would have been yeah. like, oh yeah, you're right. There yeah. rarely are people standing in our yeah. driveway.
Let's go see what they want.
Yeah.
See, yeah. for me, that did break the tension a little bit too much, because I was laughing. I did I thought it was funnier than scary at that point. I don't know what the thing is. I have a tough time staying tense, and just like once I'm laughing that hard, I'm just kind of out of it, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, it, you know, the tension picks right back up when he mm-hmm. goes out and they don't say anything, and then he goes back out with the baseball bat and then they come at him. It's, you know, so I don't think that the humor ruins anything in this movie. Mm-hmm.
Just I think like it makes it more entertaining, but it, like, less scary, which is why I had a tough time at first seeing this as a horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing it as a horror comedy helped a lot, because it's mm-hmm. like, I know there are those elements of tension in there, but I remembered like laughing and having a good time when I came out of the theater, you know?
Right. I just like, you know, one of my favorite parts of Get Out is Rod. And I don't think
Rod
that anything
was the best fucking yeah. character.
But I don't
he
think
was
anything
the friend,
he does.
Right?
Yeah, I don't okay, think anything yeah. he does ruins that movie. And he's hilarious.
See, it kind of ruined the tension for me in Get Out. But he was hilarious. Like I wasn't complaining about it. It's just like I was less scared. But I would not trade Rod for anything.
No, he's amazing. He's a sex slave. He's so funny. This movie was well received by critics. It's got a 93 on Rotten Tomatoes. Not quite as well received by the audience, though. It's a 60% on Rotten Tomatoes.
60,
which seems really, really, really low. Yeah.
Extremely low.
Yeah. Estimated budget is $20 million. The worldwide gross was $255 million, so they did really well. No surprise there. Jordan Peele gave the cast 11 horror movies to watch so they would have a shared language when they were filming. Those movies were Jaws, Dead Again, The Shining, The Babadook, It Follows, A Tale of Two Sisters, The Birds, Funny Games, Martyrs, Let the Right One In, and The Sixth Sense.
What a collection of movies, though.
Yeah. Right. Wow. Yeah. I mean, I feel bad that they had to watch A Tale of Two Sisters, but other than that, yeah. Okay.
At first, I was like, this is a really good list of movies. And then it's like, some of these are outliers.
Yeah. Yeah. The filmmakers didn't need to do much work on the Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk, as many of the games and rides are originals. And they date back as far as the 1910s. Also, there is an underground tunnel system under the boardwalk. It's mostly used for storage and as a shelter in case of emergencies. And there is no Hall of Mirrors on the beach, which I noticed right away. Duke Nicholson's characters are named Danny and Tony, and Jordan Peele told him to play the part like Lloyd the bartender from The Shining, not realizing at the time that he is Jack Nicholson's grandson.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then the final note that I had about this, Jason Blum, who had produced Jordan Peele's previous movie, Get Out, was asked to produce this one as well. But Blumhouse couldn't come up with a necessary budget for the movie, so Universal hired him as a producer outside of his company on a one-time basis so he could work as a producer on this film.
Wow.
So that is what I, the information that I have about us. Yeah, this movie's just tremendous all the way through. It's so well written. It's the acting is out of this world good. Everybody is basically playing a dual role, and they do amazing in those performances. The score, like I mentioned, is incredible. It looks great. I mean, there's nothing I don't like about this movie.
Yeah, I don't think there's any, like, I pretty much talked about the stuff that bothers me, which it's mostly like looking too deep into the mythology. I think if you just watch it, which it's hard not to do, I don't have any of these problems, like with the props and the cars and stuff. Like, that wasn't what I was thinking about during the movie because it's so entertaining. This is stuff that after it's like, wait a minute.
Yeah, that's my biggest gripes with the movie aren't really gripes. It's just like, oh man, I want more. I want to know why. I don't know why they were in these tunnels. I want to know like more about this whole tethered theory and what the fuck they were doing. And like, at one point did they just say, fuck it, and leave? And now all these people in the tunnels are breeding and having these children, you know, like, is this like an experiment that happened in like the 40s? Like, when did it start? When did it start? You know, these are the questions I have.
Yeah, I also feel like they would have walled things up, right?
You'd think, but...
Yeah, because what if... I mean, obviously the movie is what happens if people just start walking down there, but yeah. Like, what if other than by accident in a House of Mirrors situation, someone just starts walking down, like, if I found an escalator, a working escalator down to a tunnel system, I would have to go see what was going on.
That's, you know, the difference between you and me. I'm not going anywhere near that fucking escalator.
Well, I'm going to have forewarning about the evil hands across America then.
Well, there are, I mean, I guess any complaints that I would have about this movie, I would consider to be pretty nitpicky, because when I watch this movie, I don't think about any of that stuff. I'm just really enjoying it. And it's just so well done. And I, you know, Jordan Peele, in my opinion, is 3 for 3, and I'm not sure the man knows how to make a bad movie. Although the stuff he produces, maybe not so great. I heard bad things about that Twilight Zone series he did, but I didn't watch any of it.
Yeah, I think the only other thing I had in my notes that I literally skipped over earlier and forgot was like the whole thought of, okay, if they mimic actions, why is it that once they come up, they're not mimicking those actions anymore?
Well, and like, that was a little inconsistent, because sometimes they are.
Exactly. That's why I was very, very confused about that too. Cause it's the son. I can't remember his name, but Pluto, Jason. Is the Jason and the doppelgangers Pluto. Like, they mimic each other a lot. They mirror each other a lot. Up into, you know, the scene where he dies, which is a crazy scene. The kid's just like, it's a trap. And like, he's so fucking smart. I don't understand. And like, lures him back into the fire to die.
Yeah.
And it just, that I think is the scene that I was like, wait a minute. Why are they not? Is it like once they realize they're like tethered? Or, but Red has known for a long time that there are two of them, and understanding all of that. So that threw me. And I actually forgot about it until I just saw it in my notes now.
Yeah, that is a little inconsistent, because you do see it in that scene, and also when the dad kills his doppelganger. He does so by slamming his head into the boat engine, which causes the guy to slam his head into the boat propeller. So you do see it, but it's not consistent throughout the movie, which is a little weird. Don't ruin this movie for me, Ghost.
I'm not. I'm sorry. That was like the one thing that I even forgot about it until I looked at my notes. And all of those things I can 100% overlook because everything else about this movie I thoroughly enjoyed. It was amazing.
I have a lore question.
Kat's going to be the one to ruin it for you right now.
Pluto is what had the burned face. Mm-hmm. He was born into fire. If someone's having a kid on the surface and there's just a fire underground, can you not move? Like, how strict is this? I have questions.
I think with that, I noticed that I think they did some of those things to show that they're opposites in certain ways, because he's trying so hard to get that stupid little toy to work where it sparks and he couldn't. And then his doppelganger has like a burned up face. And so he likes fire and he can make fire. And I felt like that one like really stood out. And I'm sure the other ones are very similar as well.
Thematically, I think it makes a lot of sense, but I do just really,
I know
there are lines like that that just like have me asking all kinds of questions about what is going on down there. Also, if they have fires, can they not cook the rabbit? Like, and if you're like, if someone hands you a corn dog because they had a cafeteria like down there,
you're fucking killing me.
That lined up with the carnival, and it's like, if you're standing in line to buy a thing, I feel like that's just a very different motion than eating a live rabbit. Like, I don't know. I've never eaten a live rabbit. Listen, I feel like they're different.
It seems like it would be different. I mean, if you're mimicking somebody who's eating a corn dog, you've got to at least put the live rabbit on a stick.
Jesus.
Why is that not going on in the cafeteria down there? That's what I wanted to
see. Yeah, I'm wondering if because the experiment stopped, that's why maybe they were able to not mimic as much or mirror. I keep saying mimic, but it's their mirroring.
Yeah.
I don't know. That also is very weird. I did see somewhere too, when I was looking up, I like Googled like, what was the ending? Cause I like doing that with things that are like open-ended to see what other people think. And there's a divide. And some people actually believe because the tethered is basically what they say is a soul kind of split, that Jason swapped places soul wise with Pluto. And that's why he's looking at his mom like that.
Huh.
So it's another thing to think about.
That's I'm not going to think about that.
I think it's interesting because it ties into the whole, we're tethered. And I can't remember exactly what she said, but she's like, we're tethered. We're two people, but one soul. Like, I don't know. I thought it was interesting. I don't think that, but it was interesting to read.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't think about all these things. You guys really dug into the lore of this. And,
I didn't think about any of this while I was watching the movie, but just once you start asking questions, it kind of unravels.
It really does. It was as soon as I finished the movie, it's like I have all these questions and I kind of like wrote them down and I was like, oh God, I don't know, what have I done? Because I think that's why I like the Saw movie so much, as bad as it is. I love the lore and how deep it goes.
You know? No.
I agree with you there.
Can't understand.
There is deep comparing Saw to us. That is not happening. Not tonight.
Yeah, us is us doesn't make as much sense as Saw goes.
Exactly. Come on. Oh my God. Listen, I wasn't comparing them. I was just I was bringing up the lore.
The lore of Saw makes no sense. It's so frustrating.
Yes, it does.
Compared to the car thing. Sense.
Oh my God.
Prepared to being born in fire, but they're eating raw rabbits. We've officially ruined this movie.
I'm so sorry.
How about the lore and Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park?
I haven't watched that
yet.
There's
a comic series to explain that.
No, but
oh.
How dare you compare this to Saul? All right. Are we done?
Are we? Yeah. I don't know.
I think Rob's done with us.
Any more trivia?
No, that was it.
Oh, okay.
Mainly because I did it about 5 minutes before we started recording because I was playing Dinkum all day and I forgot.
You and Dinkum.
Yeah, the game's great. I'm about to get my house upgraded.
I'm assuming that's good.
Well, yeah, it's an upgrade to your house. How would that be bad?
I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know what the Dinkum economy is like.
It's all based on dinks. It's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm out, guys. I don't know if you got anything else you want to mention about this movie, but I am.
Great movie.
Yeah, yeah, it's I love it.
I know I was picking on it at the end, but I seriously do love this movie.
Yeah, and so it's a Ghost Watches. Would you call this one a success, Ghost?
Oh, 100%.
All right, because some of them you've been a little iffy on lately.
Yeah, you've been picking some iffy ones. So
I can't remember the last ones we did, but I know we were a little hit or miss with them.
I don't remember either. You know what? Let me look because I'm interested.
All right.
What did you make me watch recently?
I don't remember. That's what I just said.
28 Days Later, I was iffy on.
Oh, yeah. You didn't like that very much.
No. That's all right. I'm going to piss Kat off with that one.
Yeah, we weren't real nice to that movie, Kat. And it's not that I dislike the movie. It's just that I've seen it so many times.
I guess that's fair.
I'm just kind of like, it's hard for me to get excited about it. But Ghost
you're
had never seen
me on
it.
A...
Ghost had never seen it before. And she was like, she was just like, nah, I don't like it.
Yeah. It wasn't that, nah, I didn't like it. It was just really hard for me to get into.
Mm-hmm. I know we did Shocker.
That one I had a fun time with.
Yeah, that one's awesome. Yeah. Wes Craven's best film.
Ah! Stop it.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, stop it.
Do you prefer Vampire in Brooklyn?
I'm a fucking fight him. I'm a tase you. I'm gonna get one. I don't know where. It might be illegal. And then I'm a fucking tase you. I'm trying to look to see what other ones we've done. Let's see. 28 Days Later.
What was the one you did with Mary?
The Gate?
Yeah.
I don't even remember that movie. That's how unmemorable it was.
It's a good movie, The Gate.
I don't remember what happened.
It's with the kids, remember? And they open up the gate into hell.
Oh, right. Yeah, see? That's how, like I said, unmemorable it was. That was in April. What the hell? We have not been doing Ghost Watches for a while.
No, we've been busy with other important stuff.
We have.
All right. Well, you can find the show on Twitter. We are at This Horror Life. You can send us an email. That email address is thishorrorlife@gmail.com. Ghost, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at GhostTJ with a zero. You can also follow me over on Twitch, twitch.tv/GhostTJ, also with a zero.
All right. And Kat, what about you?
You can find me on Twitter at Kat_Valor, or you can check out my website, katvalor.com.
All right. Did you put that banner in my face up there yet?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right. Perfect. You can find me on Twitter at RadioRob123. You can listen to my other show that I do with Kat Valor, Slasher Radio, wherever you are listening to This Horror Life. Guys, I think we did an episode.